Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. Today is a special day worth living.
Bishop Haralambos is a Greek Orthodox bishop whose ordination name translates from the Greek to be Happy Light. Bishop Hara, or Happy, will welcome us each morning with an uplifting message of exhortation, bringing us together for wisdom, knowledge, Bible prophecy, and current events, reviewing past prophecies aired on the radio years ago in a Nostradamus fashion. The program will contain miracles, newspaper quotes, and Holy Scripture readings relating to the end times.
Come receive the light in God's Kapheneon. This is Bishop Haralambos. From now on, you can just call me Bishop Hara, and our program will be coming to you each Sunday morning, 8:30 to 9, especially to you live-ins and all you God-blessed people, the beloved of the Lord. Well, I have to say to you this morning, almost have to say to you, Happy New Year, for tomorrow it will be the first day of a new year, 2007. And on this day, I would like very much to talk about in faith, love. We talked about last week, but faith, it's important that we have a faith, but the spirit and truth of worshiping our Lord God is also extremely important to us and part of our makeup. But let me read you some famous sayings of some famous men about faith and what it really means. Before I begin, though, I'd like for us to say a prayer together in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, give us wisdom to speak thy truth and let the Holy Spirit have their way. And hopefully anything that's said, Lord, that is not of you, that no one will hear and remember. But those that are words that are from you that are spoken today, Lord, that they will be retained and placed into our souls. Now, I said I would talk about faith. Let's listen to Søren Kierkegaard. He was a 19th century Danish philosopher, and he was a very famous theologian. Quote, "Without risk, there is no faith. Faith is precisely the contradiction between the infinite passion of the individual's inwardness and the objective uncertainty." Now, another famous Polish-born writer wrote about faith and doubt. "Doubt is part of all religion. All the religious thinkers were first doubters." I hope that's true, too, to some of us, that doubt the existence of God and how he works and his infinite power, which we will talk about today. "Faith is the daring of the soul to go further than it can see." That was written by William Newton Clark. Henri Matisse, the French painter, who painted beautiful landscapes, quote, "There are always flowers for those who want to see them." And another Mario proverb is, "Turn your face to the sun and the shadow fall behind you." "Faithless is he that says farewell when the road darkens." This is by Tolkien, the British writer and scholar. "Every tomorrow has two handles. We can take hold of it with the handle of anxiety or the handle of faith." And that was Henry Ward Beecher. Another one by Martin Luther King Jr., the Baptist minister, and we know the civil rights leader. Quote, "Take the first step in faith. You don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step." That was said by Martin Luther King. And Pope John the 23rd had an interesting comments to say, "Consult not your fears, but your hopes and your dreams. Think not about your frustrations, but about your unfulfilled potential. Concern yourself not with what you tried and failed in, but with what it is still possible for you to do." And that was Pope John the 23rd. Lewis Carroll, the 19th century English mathematician, wrote, "Sometimes I've believed as many as six impossible things before breakfast." And William Shakespeare himself wrote, the English playwright and poet, "Now, God be praised that to believing souls He gives light in darkness, comfort in despair. And with that, we'll part from the quotes of the famous people that you just heard. And now we'll get into Holy Scripture and speak about an extremely important point that is being misunderstood. It has become a private interpretation by certain theologians and ministers and some that I won't mention today, but they are heading up some of the largest growing evangelical churches in the world. And of course, they're here in the United States, and they take this, they're misreading the issue of man and what his ability is, his personal ability, that we can just take hold of the situations ourselves and to take on positive notes and move forward and just forget about any negativeness, because we can go forward and we can do it. And this is a gift from God that we all have, that we're all powerful. Well, to me, that is a contradiction, and I'm going into the second epistle of Peter to prove that this is not so. Number one, let me go back to the original apostles and disciples and what God himself, Christ resurrected, had to say. As he was resurrecting, he said something about we human beings and our weaknesses. He said, don't do anything, don't go anywhere. And of course, they had to wait for 50 days. He said, until the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. See, there's the issue. The issue is man in himself can't develop this supernatural power and knowledge and move forward without the power of God. It's the power of God that moves with man in doing God's work. It is not energizing or the saying the alakazam, I can do it. You can't do anything without God. And of course, the Lord personally told his apostles, do not go forward until the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So basically, it's an energizing of the human spirit and soul in doing the work of the Lord. And as we hear from Christianity and some theologians today, they're asking the congregants to put aside all notion that they have to wait for the Holy Spirit and the power of it to move in their lives and to do what they want to acclaim to do and to fulfill in their lives, and that's that that is a an apostasy. It's a very dangerous thing to do. It's no different than, as we know, that some of the the evangelicals that would take snakes, for instance, and through faith they believe that they could live through the venom that would the venom. Now God hasn't told them to do that. They do it and believing they've taken on this supernatural power unto themselves by a private interpretation of the Scripture. And we're warned of that Jesus himself told his apostles and those that learned under him for 3 whole years, they learned firsthand the precise methodology that Christianity needed to have and to take. But even then, he knew they cannot move forward without the power that would come from heaven, from the Holy Spirit. And he said, wait on it. And so here we go to the point where Scripture has been taken and actually misleading many, 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 many people in some of the theology today in our Protestant churches, and thank God in the traditional church, the reliance is upon the church itself. There is no salvation outside of the church, because then you don't have the danger of moving ahead on your own and getting delusional about the power that you think you have from God or that you have yourself because you believe into the Almighty. See, believing in the Lord doesn't give you the license or the, can we say, the poetic license to decide for yourself a private interpretation. You need to rely on the more sure word of prophecy. For instance, there's so many prophesying now about how the world is going to end, indeed, if it is going to end. We do know that that there are certain scientific evidences today that we're in a dangerous area with global warming, etc. But the bottom line I'm trying to get at today is we can't do anything on our own. And we move by faith, and even theologians today, some of them very erroneously say that we're saved, that the Christian is saved by faith only. Well, that's wrong, and I'll show you why that is wrong. Please email us and give us your comments. We'll air them on the next show. ArchangelMichael@msn.com. ArchangelMichael@msn.com. We are interested in your comments. Let's go into the second epistle of Peter, and I hope some of you have your scriptures at your side. Does chapter 1, verse 5 say faith only? Let me read it to you. And then I'll go back and give you the prelude to it. Quote, and this is from the Apostle Peter, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." So he's got steps. He's got step one, you need to add virtue to your faith. And step two, you need to add to virtue knowledge. So knowledge is extremely important in the exercise of your faith. And certainly so is virtue. Those are steps. But let's go to the beginning. Simon Peter declares himself a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he too, before he began his ministry, had to wait. You see, that's the importance. We dive in, and certainly the 20th century theologians and so-called ministers, especially those on TV, they go into this power spin, believing that they, on the name of Christ, and they can do this and do that. Have they really waited for the tongues and the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon them? Is the evidence of other deceived people who have followed these false prophets, and I can name them over the air right now, but I think you know who they are. They're false teachers. They privately bring in damnable heresies. They even deny the Lord that bought them eventually. And eventually they will bring destructions upon themselves in the form of disgrace and scandal. And we know that there's been a great deal of scandal that's gone on in the last recent years of TV Christian ministries. To name a few, Jimmy Swigert, he hit the bottom. Certainly Jimmy Baker did. And we also know that several TV ministries went into politics, even wanting to become president. That wasn't a calling from God. Now, that was a private interpretation of what they thought God was telling them to do. But faith is, of course, an important ingredient, because that is the foundation that we put our virtue in. Of course, we have to have a knowledge. Now, where do we get the knowledge? Let's go read what Peter had to say. "Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us," and there's that word faith again, pisti, as it says in Greek, "through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ." It comes through God. "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God." Now let's look at that a little closer. The knowledge of God? How do we know God better and better? And that's the increasing knowledge, better and better, through the knowledge of God and the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. "According as his divine power," here it comes, quickly and, I think just perfectly explaining what we're trying to say today. "As his divine power hath given unto us." We can do nothing. We're just like those, like I saw my little niece had one of those little robots that you put batteries in. I was really amazed at what it does. It picks things up. It does push-ups. It bowls. And it's a little 4-foot-high little, what do you call it? It's a toy, of course, but it can't do anything, this robot, unless you give it power. And the way you give it power is you instill batteries in it. So with that vision in mind, unless God instills the batteries of the Holy Spirit in us, we're really powerless. We can't do anything. We need this divine power, and God has to give it to us. He exemplified this and underlined it when he told his first apostles, the first church, don't move, don't go anywhere. Whether they stayed in that precise room or not, I don't know. But I do know they did not enter into their ministry until the Holy Spirit came upon them, and it was visually present by tongues of fire. So here you have to wait for the power of God, just like this little robot. My little Jeremy could not use the controls and have anything to do with it and have it move. My God, it even did push-ups and sit-ups. I was so amazed, and it picked up little cans of a cold drink and what have you. But it did have to have about 6 or 7 or 8 batteries in order for it to operate. That's the power that it put it into operation. And of course, the divine power from God is what puts us into operation and hopefully into proper truth. And all things that pertain unto life and godliness, says St. Peter, through the knowledge of him. Again, that's for learning God better and better. So God will give you additional power as we get to know him better and better. It's not an instant thing. It's not like instant coffee or instant tea that we just cook it up once, put it in the microwave, and bam, we're done. We're ready. We've got all the knowledge we need, and we proceed forth with glory. No, it's an increase of knowledge of him, of God, so we know how to use the power properly. And so then he calls us to glory and virtue, whereby, said St. Peter, are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. Promises go with this. God has promises for us to do in our life, that by these you might be partakers, and by doing this you take of the divine nature of God, because it's the divine nature of God that's ongoing, and the positiveness of God that keeps the universe intact and going, and for that matter, the proper nature of man in the right direction is done if we're in this power, if we're in the truth of this power, and if we are partakers of the divine nature, because we must escape the corruption that is in the world because of the lust of the world. And I don't mean just the lust of the flesh, the lust of the things that we want in life that really don't belong, certainly in our own life, much less others. And besides this, giving all diligence. Here we go. Now we have to deal with due diligence. And we know that's an important word. To add to our faith, to add to your faith, the due diligence of all this. If we go through this process, we add the due diligence. And what do we add by this due diligence? Virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. So there's two steps we know that will bring us to the knowledge and temperance. And then temperance brings patience. And then patience, what does it do? It brings godliness. And then to godliness, brotherly kindness. And then to brotherly kindness, of course, love and charity. If these things be in you, said St. Peter, and abound, in other words, if they're increasing and growing in you, they may make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of knowing our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope these words aren't too deep. They're really very simple, that you take these steps, and by step, and I've said time and time again on this program, you can't have this instant, perfection in the fact that you accept Christ by knowing him, and hopefully you bring him into your heart. It's as I've said before, you're not just born with it, you grow into it. It's our genesis. It's an additional add-on. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. In other words, if you were to say, well, I'm born again, everything's perfect, I accepted Christ, I don't have to worry about anything, I don't need to know about Genesis, I don't need to know about increasing myself to godliness, I don't have to worry about knowing God more and more, I've got the program down pat, and here I'm going like a bull head forward. And there you go off without the due diligence. Because in other words, then you don't know, because you are really blind. You see, if you lack these things, as St. Peter said, you're blind and you cannot see afar off. You can't see into the future the things that are to happen. And you've forgotten and you've forgotten the most important issue, that you were purged from your old sins, and you will go right into your old sins. And that's what's happening to Christianity today, even those that believe they're born again. They wind up in their old sins, and then they wonder how come they haven't really made the progress that it says in Scripture you're to make. Wherefore the rather, brethren, saith Peter, give diligence, due diligence, to make your calling. See, in order to accomplish all those things, the foundation of those things, you finally find out your true calling and your election, and you know for sure what it is. For if you do these things, you'll never, never fall. These are great words of wisdom. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, says Peter, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Let's emphasize the remembrance. Just like Christ told us, take, drink, eat, remembrance. Though you know them, you see, that's a representation. Even the chalice is a representation of all this, of knowledge of God. And you know, we're born again every time we have divine liturgy and we think of God, because we know, and it's really God returning time and time again to us personally as the blood and the body is transformed into his body and blood through consecration and prayer by the power, not of ours, not of the priest, but of the Holy Spirit that comes upon it. Isn't that beautiful? It's actually a reenactment of the upper room when the power of the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, and Christ said, don't move a muscle, don't go forward in ministry until that power comes. And isn't that beautiful about the Holy Communion, looking at the chalice and looking at the body and blood and asking for the Holy Spirit to come down and consecrate these gifts, because they're gifts from God himself, from Christ, as he asks us to remember him when we're doing this, because he wants us never to forget that it's his power and it's his Holy Spirit from the throne of God the Father that comes into the gifts and transforms them. Isn't it a shame that some of our Protestant Christian brothers don't believe this, and they don't even believe in the priesthood. They've removed it, and of course they removed the altar, where they didn't have need an altar the priesthood is gone, and the vestments are gone, and even the important faith that has to be there for this to happen. Wherefore I will not be negligent to you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, and it meant Peter was talking about his own body, to stir you up and put you in the remembrance of these truths. And I believe that St. Peter had a wonderful, wonderful insight into this, and he said, very importantly, well, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power. Here it comes again, the word power. We make known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And he makes a reference to this time, for he received from God the Father honor and glory. Now, when did Peter see God, Jesus, receiving power and glory? When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, from heaven itself, and Peter's quoting the voice that he heard, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice came from heaven. We heard it when we were with him on the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Again, Peter's declaring himself that the word he has and what he's profounding in this epistle, the second epistle of Peter, you can read it for yourself. Brothers and sisters in Christ, read it, please. Leave these false prophets and false teachers that are among you who are coming up with these private heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. They're heresies. And when you deny the chalice, you deny Christ. You deny his commandment. It's not an option to decide how you want to interpret what Scripture says about the holy chalice and the body and blood. You can't even have a private interpretation. That's terrible. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. And how many times do you hear these TV so-called ministers screaming into the scream and asking for money? That's one way you can always find out. What they all ask for money. They all have something for sale. You know, if God provided them with the money to do as he did when he asked his apostles to go to the fish and get the gold coin and pay the taxes. If it was provided by God and they didn't beg for money on TV, I might have a inkling of an idea that I might want to listen to what they have to say. But I always turn the TV off the moment I hear, and if you want to buy this, send this, and send this, they always talk about money. And, of course, their excuses in order to stay on the air. Well, personally, if they were to stay on the air by the divine power of God, they wouldn't need to ask for a dime. It would come forth in the way of donations out of the blue. They wouldn't even have to ask for it if it was God's will. God can provide anything. And to me, it's a good indication that they're just it's a private interpretation, certainly of words of prophecy. We need to take heed of this, and because we know that the day is coming when darkness will come in, and so we need to also know that we don't want to listen to any private prophecy of any man from the will of man. But we know that the Scriptures, of course, receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and they spoke by the Holy Ghost, and they wrote by the Holy Ghost. And we also know that the times are coming with all this falseness going on with Christianity today, and how apostasy has crept in and just diluted it to the point where the Lord will anger to and will probably treat this world like he did at the time of Noah. Because, you know, he didn't spare, God didn't spare the old world, but he saved Noah and the eight persons. Because Noah was a preacher of righteousness and of truth. And we cannot escape from the fact that anything where pollution has come in the form of a mistruth, a part-truth, a misinformation, an interpretation that isn't correct, all these things are an abomination to God. And we know that God didn't even spare the angels that sinned. And, you know, the angels saw God face to face. But he cast them down to hell, and he delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. But, you know, brothers and sisters, Sodom and Gomorrah got treated the same way. So our country has to be very beware of where we stand. And brothers and sisters, the truth is you must call for the truth of God in your hearts and ask for the Holy Spirit and the power of God to come into you so that we can have a perfect understanding of his word and knowledge of him. In Jesus Christ, I ask you to beware of false prophets today and false teachers. In Jesus' name, Happy New Year, and I hope this has been a good teaching to you. Amen.
It's important that I tell you St. Michael Academy of Eschatology is sponsoring this program. It is a Bible seminary, an Orthodox Bible Seminary, and it's under the State of Florida Board of Education and of Colleges. Profoundly, it's right in our midst for you to learn. Please, you can write St. Michael Academy to enter into anywhere from the associate program to the doctorate program. All approved by the State of Florida in its curriculum. 7007, Post Office Box 7007, West Palm Beach, Florida, 33405. I also want to have a feedback from my beautiful listeners. You can reach me, your Bishop Harold Ambos, or Bishop Harry, or Bishop Happy, at msn.com, Archangel Michael, low caps, Archangel Michael, A-R-C-H-A-N-G-E-L, one word, at msn.com. I'm waiting to hear from you for any subject matter in theology or philosophy that we can speak about on this program. It's important I let you also know that my qualifications are a PhD in both theology and philosophy. God bless you.